Blog Talk Radio.
He equally loved what he was doing for the people.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are going to go to you live now. The Sonny Kim, he was a Cincinnati police officer who was gunned down here in Cincinnati. And we're going to go live to the broadcast of Sonny Kim's funeral. So please tune in and listen right here as they talk about Sonny Kim.
People of our city. He told me about the auto accidents where he helped people, the family trouble runs where he protected the abused, the burglary and robbery suspects he helped to chase down, and so much more. Sonny was always impressed and humbled by the support of the citizens and the business owners and the way they expressed it to our police officers and for the job that he was doing. I was looking through my old friend's personnel jacket the other night. It tells it all. Apprehending a stabbing suspect while he still had the weapon in his hand. Investigative techniques that resulted in closure of numerous aggravated burglaries. Stolen cars recovered, negotiating with armed and barricaded people to their surrender. Locating and returning lost elderly persons. And getting stranded motorists out of harm's way and back on their way. Even rescuing a man from the Ohio River after he had jumped to try to take his own life. And on and on and on. And these are only the people who thought to say something or write something. As police officers, we all know there are 100 good deeds that a policeman does for every one that is noticed. Over the next few years, after Sonny was hired, he would head back to Chicago from time to time to visit his family. When his work schedule permitted, and that was never nearly enough, he said, for his mother. After one such visit, Sonny came back to Cincinnati, and he was talking about a girl he had met. Suddenly, Sonny was able to find the time in his schedule to get back to Chicago a few more times over the next few months. When Sonny talked about Jessica, when he described her, the person he was finding her to be, he just knew she was the one for him. Before long, he was telling his friends back here in Cincinnati he was going to get married. Now, Sonny played a no small part in the role in meeting and eventually going out with my now wife, Christy. As a result, Sonny was one of the groomsmen in my wedding. And I guess turnabout being fair play, when the date was set, Sonny asked me to be one of his groomsmen in his wedding in Chicago. He asked a total of 4 of his buddies from here in Cincinnati to go with him. And of course, we all said yes. Sonny then explained, this would likely be like no other wedding we'd been to before. Sonny told us that Chicago is not like Cincinnati. And many of his family and family's friends had no need to associate outside of the Korean community in Chicago. Sonny was right. Well, I didn't mind being one of the tallest people I saw all weekend. It certainly would have been easy for us to feel out of place. Mr. and Mrs. Kim made us feel welcome. Made us feel like family. Our weekend in Chicago is one I'll always remember with a smile. We all got to see just what a wonderful family Sonny had come from. This week, we have seen Sonny's love for this city. Sonny's love for us only started at the police department. Sonny has meant so much to so many people outside of the department. Sonny has taught, mentored, and loved countless people as a sensei at his dojo, as a neighbor, as a friend, and as a member of our community. But when you really get a feel for the kind of man Sonny was, and the place where Sonny concentrated most of his energy and love, is when you get to know Sonny's family. His faithful, loving, devoted wife, Jessica. His hilarious, wildly, artistically talented son, Timothy. His strong and athletic son, Joshua. And his off-the-charts, intelligent son, Jacob. Sonny and Jessica have already gone a long way into creating three fine young men. Young men who will no doubt continue to enhance and change lives for the better for years to come. Young men who already have and will continue to make their father so very, very proud. I've heard Jessica and the boys offering their thanks to many wonderful people and businesses in our community who have already stepped forward and done so much. Jessica has even said she is humbled and feels people may be doing too much. This is not surprising to hear from a family who have always given so much more than they've ever been willing to accept. To this I say, Jessica, guys, please continue to accept what we are able to offer as we try to express our love and appreciation. Sonny loved us first, and we know there will never be any way we can repay what he's already given. Tim, before I finish, I just want to say, I do believe God lets you see Instagram posts in heaven, so keep writing. To the rest of us, keep telling your Sonny Kim stories. Keep talking about how Sonny changed, even saved, or made your life better. That way, Sonny's love continues to beat in all of our hearts, as it will beat in the heart of this city forever. Goodbye, Sonny.
What you're listening to is Sonny Kim's funeral from Cincinnati, Ohio. It's live, and we'll continue with this procession as the choir is moving off the rafters. They're getting ready to continue here in just one moment. So please stand by as you are listening live the Sonny Kim's funeral. Officer Sonny Kim from the Cincinnati Police Department. He was gunned down last week by a 21-year-old male that basically shot him and along with other police officers in an all-out gun battle. And unfortunately, Sonny Kim lost his life. So, in honor, we continue here as we listen to the rest of this and the program of Sonny Kim's funeral. Officer Sonny Kim from the Cincinnati Police Department.
Sonny's pastor, Phil Postuma, from Montgomery Community Church, will now offer an inspirational message.
Jessica, Tim, Josh, and Jacob, I want you to know that my heart goes out to you. Many prayers have been prayed for you and will continue to be prayed for you every single day, week, month, and throughout the years to come. See, this moment that we're sharing in right now is a moment I don't know that any of us fully understands. But there's one thing we can understand. It's God's words spoken to you here today. Isaiah 41, listen to the words of God to you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you. During this time, remember to hold on to God. For God is holding on to you. He is the one who gives you peace. He is the one who gives you strength, and he is the one who gives us all life. And he was the one, of course, who created Sonny. And Sonny, without question, was an incredible man, husband, and father. Sonny was incredibly dedicated to his family, as we've already heard about. In fact, Sonny, although some of you may not even know him, haven't encountered him before, he was known for his humor. Almost on a daily basis, Sonny would send pictures to his family, just off-the-wall pictures of himself to them, just to remind them that life is short. Let's enjoy the ride together, and to remind them that he loved them. Jessica, I know you'll always be thankful for his faithfulness and his belief in you. He saw what everyone else can see, that you are a beautiful treasure. Don't forget that. Now, as we've all come to see in the media, Sonny, of course, made a difference in every facet of his life. For example, last week I read an article, perhaps you read it as well, and the beginning of this article goes something like this. In front of a darkened karate dojo in a Sims Township strip mall stands a tall, thin young man. He's staring at the glass front door. He had to come here in the rain. A pilgrimage. Inside, Sensei Sonny Kim had changed his life. You see, a sensei is a teacher. A sensei will share what he knows with his student so that a student can not only improve, but eventually that the student can become just like his sensei. Jesus Christ, of course, quite the teacher himself, he put it this way. He said, the student is not above the teacher. But everyone who is fully trained will be just like their teacher. And I'm sure there must have been times when that boy who stood outside that strip mall in Sims Township had times when he wondered. He probably didn't understand everything that Sonny said or everything Sonny did to ensure that one day he could be just like Sonny. See, a student seldom sees the bigger picture. And this was certainly the case with the students that had gathered around Jesus Christ in John chapter 11. They didn't get it. They didn't get it at all. See, Jesus had a close friend named Lazarus. Lazarus was sick. He was close to dying. In fact, all we really know about Lazarus from John chapter 11 is that, like Sonny, Lazarus was dearly loved by Jesus. And yet, when Christ heard about his friend, that he was sick and ailing, what did he do? Well, Jesus didn't get up. He didn't pack his bags. He didn't head out on a journey to see him. What we learned is that Jesus stayed exactly where he was for a few more days. And it causes us to ask, what kind of teacher is that? And yet Jesus had a strategy in mind, you see. He was waiting to teach his students one of the greatest lessons of all time. And it's a lesson I'd like for us all to listen to and embrace here today. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus finally arrived 4 days after Lazarus died. And as he approached the house full of people crying, both sisters of Lazarus ran out to Jesus at separate times. And they exclaimed this, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." These two sisters, filled with pain, were caught up in the land of if only. Perhaps many of us here are caught up in that same land today. You know, if only I'd spent more time with him. If only I had said this or that to him. If only I had done this or that. If only he had arrived just a few moments later. If only he hadn't gone to work that Friday morning. If only, if only, if only. These kinds of if-only questions are normal. So don't blame yourself. Well, if we're not to be blamed, then who is? Perhaps it's God's fault, because that's precisely the point that Mary and Martha were trying to make. They were blaming Jesus for the death of their brother. They're saying, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus, this is your fault. This one's on you." And yet, as Christ's own brother would later write, he said, "When under trial, let no one say I'm being tried by God. For with evil things, God cannot be tried, nor does he himself try anyone." What happened last Friday was an evil thing. An evil thing. It's a result of what happens in a sinful world where we are all prone to acting in sinful ways. And yet this was never God's plan. Never God's plan at all. And yet sometimes, because we forget this, we blame God. We question him. And I learned some time ago that God's not afraid of our questions. He's big enough and strong enough to handle whatever's going on in our minds and whatever would come out of our mouths. It's why when Mary and Martha blamed Jesus for the death of their brother, he didn't scold them. He didn't look down on them. And the same goes for you. You shouldn't feel guilty today for wondering if there was something that God could have done or God should have done to keep Sonny alive just a little while longer. You see, as hard as it is, and it's hard for me, I know it's hard for you, ultimately we need to remember that for whatever reason, and a reason I still don't get, it was Sonny's time. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 3, it says, "There is an appointed time for everything, and there's a time for every event under heaven, a time to give birth and a time to die." When we don't understand the reasons why Sonny died, we do know that for some reason, a reason that escapes us, it was his time to die. Well, as we continue with the story, we find the shortest verse in the entire Bible. Jesus Christ, he shows up and he's surrounded by all these people who are mourning. Some, of course, are friends of Lazarus. Some are family members. But many of these people, Jesus doesn't even know. And in the midst of that crowd that had gathered there that day, Jesus could have done a couple different things. He could have addressed the crowd and used it as an opportunity to teach them, because Jesus was a teacher after all. He could have gone off alone to deal with his pain in his own private way. But instead, the Bible tells us that in the midst of that crowd, what did Jesus do? Jesus wept. He wept. Think about this. The very Son of God, Jesus Christ, attending a funeral of a friend, and what does he do? He openly weeps. He's not apologizing for it. He's not embarrassed. In fact, those who were watching him in that moment said, "See how much he loved him." I feel like crying today. Don't hold back. Your tears show how much you loved Sonny. If it was okay for Jesus to cry, it's more than okay for you to cry. And just remember, however you do respond, that God feels your pain. Because after all, he lost a family member too. He lost his one and only son who came to die in such a brutal way for you and for me. In fact, before Jesus would die, he spoke one of the greatest statements of all time, I believe. It's written on the front of your programs. "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for his friends." Think about that. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for his friends. I don't know how you look at this, but whenever I see a police officer, I see a reflection of Jesus Christ. That's what I see. Every police officer across this great nation exists to protect and to serve. And sometimes this means that an officer will have to lay down his or her life for a friend. And sometimes that friend is someone the officer has never even met. He or she has merely chosen to befriend that person. And I don't know what you call that, but for me, that's love. For me, that's Jesus. And for me, that's Sonny. I find it interesting that not only was Sonny a teacher like Jesus, Sonny was willing to lay down his life for another like Jesus. And once again, the words of Jesus keep ringing in my ears. "The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be just like their teacher." Although Sonny's life was cut short, he beautifully became much like his teacher, Jesus Christ, the Son. And we are all here today, and people are watching at home, because we rarely ever get a chance to witness such a transformation. It's a beautiful thing. Sonny laid down his life. And in light of that, I want you to just consider a truth that exists for all of us here today. That Jesus laid down his life for you so that you could answer the essential question of your life. Where will I go when I die? Basically, what's next? And the good news is that Jesus holds out the answer for you. It's why he looked at Martha that day in the midst of her pain. And he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." And then he asks this question, "Do you believe this? Do you believe this?" That was quite a question that Jesus asked Martha that day. And you got to wonder how she answered. Because you see, Jesus didn't merely say that there is a resurrection. He claimed that he is the resurrection. The fact that he would eventually rise from the dead was the guarantee that eventually others could rise as well. But many times we fail to see this. We fail to understand this. Because we often think that this is the land of the living, where we prepare for the land of the dying. We got it all turned around, friends. This is the land of the dying, where we have the opportunity to prepare for the land of the living. And the question that exists for every single person here today is this: are you taking full advantage of that opportunity? Are you? There's only one requirement for entrance into resurrection life, is to take that step to become just like the teacher, Jesus Christ. And such a transformation begins by admitting your sin and acknowledging that Jesus exchanged his life for yours. He laid his life down for you by taking on your sins at the cross. And that he rose again so that at the moment of your death, you could rise as well. Yes, that was quite a question he asked of Martha that day. If you remember, he basically said, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? And she answered, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. Friends, that was Martha's answer. What's yours? What's yours? You see, you have a choice today. You can leave this place the same way you came in, knowing about Jesus, the teacher, but not really taking any steps to be like him. Or you can take that first step. You can know Jesus by confessing your sin and acknowledging that he laid down his life for you so that like him, you could eventually rise as well. And when you stop to think about it, when we lay aside all of our pride, who wouldn't want to follow someone who loves you enough to lay down his life for you? Christ's own brother would later write, he said, what is your life after all? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Last Friday morning, Sonny was not planning to die when he did, where he did. His life was like a vapor. It appeared for a little while, and then it passed away. It was a beautiful vapor. It was a powerful vapor, but a vapor nonetheless. And the truth that exists for each one of us, whether we want to face it or not, is that none of us knows what will happen to us either. We are a vapor. Our lives are incredibly fragile. Well, at the end of this encounter, Jesus stood before the grave and he cried out with a loud voice. He said, Lazarus, come out. And in front of a host of witnesses, the Bible tells us the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. A dead man had been brought back to life. And I don't know if you've thought about this or not, but all of us, including myself, we were born spiritually dead. You see, there is no hope that lies within us unless Christ Jesus resides in us. Let me say that again. There is no hope that lies within us unless Christ Jesus resides in us. Only Jesus can raise us back to life. It's why he said, whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies. And he asked, do you believe this? Today, people believe all kinds of things. There's so many different options out there. You have your option, I have mine. But for all the options that are out there, do we ever just stop for just a moment? Do we just pause and do we ask ourselves this essential question? Is the option that I chose, does it really work? Does it give me life, not only now, but in the life to come? See, friends, more than anything else, I know that Sonny would want you to know this, that because of Jesus, there is hope. Because of Jesus, there is life. And because of Jesus, there is a future. And Jesus is calling for you to follow him. He wants to be your teacher. Will you learn from him in order to be like him? Because the moment we start to really live, the moment we finally embrace what life is all about, is the moment we understand and believe and finally embrace that everything we need in life or in death is found in Christ and in Christ alone.
Mm-hmm. cornerstone, solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What height of love, what depth of peace, when the fears are filled with shining sea. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I
program.
With me. Amazing grace.
Please be seated. Before I ask Pastor Phil to come forward for the closing prayer, I'll offer some instructions about the conclusion of today's service. After Officer Sonny Kim and his family exit to a private room, I need everyone to remain seated inside the CentOS Center for detailed instructions about the movement of everyone to the procession and burial site. And now I ask Pastor Phil to come forward for the closing prayer.
Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Powerful is your name. Peace is your name. Our Father, we thank you for the life of Sonny Kim. God, we thank you that we've had the privilege to see somebody who's lived so beautifully, who's lived so passionately, who's devoted himself to others by putting them first. Lord, we thank you for his example in everyday life, Lord, that he would love his wife as he did, to teach his own children and to raise them up, God, to follow you. We thank you for his example. God, we thank you that he dedicated himself every day that he lived to protect and to serve, that he would be willing to lay down his life for a friend, somebody he's never even met before. Lord, we thank you for his example. God, we thank you for his example of love for friends, his love for family, his love for you, Almighty God. And so now, as we conclude this time together, may we learn from him. Lord, as we leave this place today, may we live radically, may we live passionately, and may we take the lessons that Sonny has taught us and take them to everyday life, that we would not leave here the same way we came in, but we'd leave here changed. We'd leave this place dedicated to living life. Because while everyone eventually dies, not everyone truly lives. Help us all in this place here to live with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength for you, Almighty God, the one who made us, the one who loves us, the one who sent his son to die for us so that we could know life. And we thank you today. We thank you today for the life of Sonny Kim. And we thank you, Lord, that in your grace and in your wisdom, you chose to give Sonny to us for this time. As a result, now, Father, may we forever be changed. And it's the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Now, as they make their way down the funeral procession, as they carry the casket out.
Services will now move to the Gate of Heaven Cemetery on Montgomery Road. This is a private service for the Kim family, law enforcement and family, and close friends. No private vehicles are permitted in the procession or will have access to the cemetery. Citizens are encouraged to line the streets on Montgomery Road as the procession moves along, and again, we thank you for the support you have shown the Kim family and the Cincinnati Police Department. District 2 officers and their families moved to the Croswell buses or marked police vehicles staged in the procession on the north side of the CentOS Center. Cincinnati officers, command officers, and visiting officers driving police vehicles in the procession, respond to your vehicles and be prepared to move when directed. Cincinnati officers and retired officers, Cincinnati Police civilian employees, and visiting law enforcement officers that are not in the uniformed procession and want to stage at the cemetery for the arrival of Officer Kim and his family should move to the yellow school buses staged in the parking lot on the east side of the building. These buses will leave in 15 minutes. Do not delay getting to this location. Thank you. You are dismissed.
Now, what they're going to do at this time, they're going to do the funeral procession, which will be followed by air coverage with choppers. And they're going to be going from Xavier University to Montgomery, which is called the Gates of Heaven Cemetery. And as everybody exits out of the building, a lot of tear-filled eyes as people are exiting, really powerful speech and prayer from the minister. And of course, everybody who knew Sonny Kim are very deeply touched by this. Now, one thing I want to say is that where I work at, I've seen Sonny Kim here at my place at the airport. He stopped by many times. Really friendly guy, very nice. He was wonderful. Never had any issues. I mean, the guy was just a outstanding individual. And everything that these people were saying, the police officers and family, close friends, he was really... somebody who cared for the public, cared for the people. Unfortunately, he died in the line of duty as a young individual, those 21 years of age, had psychological issues, and of course pulled out a gun and shot Officer Sonny Kim in killing him. And then, of course, the individual was shot down himself. The police department had rounded up around 47 shots that were fired from this individual. As sad as it is, we're going to actually listen to the rest of this and kind of follow through what is going on. So we're going to listen in, and they're going to basically at this point, they're going to do the funeral procession, which is going to be by air. They're going to be doing some coverage. And we hope that everybody will just continue to listen. You may hear some music. You may hear stuff in the background. And I'll join in every once in a while to let you know what's going on. So right now they're finishing up at Xavier University. They're getting the people to the cars. Of course, they're loading people up. And The possession will start here in just a few seconds here. So we're going to go ahead and continue over. Now, one thing I do is always keep an eye on what's going on here. Let me just kind of turn this down just a touch here for a minute. So, anyway, we have that Sonny Kim had, you know, his funeral procession is taking place right now as we speak. You know, they're going to be going down through Montgomery Road. And, of course, this is, you know, they got all the streets blocked. And, of course, you know, there's a lot going on here. So we're going to listen to this. We're going to listen to some of the dispatch as well.
3919-277-9039-18,
Robert Abraham. And I tell you what, it's really getting, it's really interesting to, you know, to hear that his, you know, his family, man. I mean, just could not believe that just seeing his family there, and of course, you know, how they felt and how they're feeling and what they're going through. It's just a sad day. There is many officers across America who have joined this funeral today. Like I said, you know, he, Sonny Kim was a police officer. He was served from was born 1966, died here in 2015. You know, he had over 27 years that he worked in law enforcement here in Cincinnati. He was a teacher at a dojo, and he was an eighth degree black belt. And he taught a lot of students in combat and defense. So a lot of his students were there in gi. They were wearing their gis or their karate outfits. They were, you know, they're honoring him as well. And just a horrific event that would ever happen to anybody. You know, we see all this stuff that happens across America where we see, you know, people that are, you know, setting up police officers and shooting them and killing them. Up in New York, we seen the two officers that were shot and killed just by sitting in their car, right? So this is the same type of instance that we had here in Cincinnati where this officer had received a call. Well, they were, the 911 dispatch received a call where they were stating, you know, the individual stated that there was somebody with a gun that was in the streets. And then all of a sudden they showed up and Officer Kim was killed. So it was an ambush to Sonny Kim.
Sure. Some of you might think that I'm saying that he was a man of character. And yes, I believe that to be true as well. But he was a man about character. The character of the people.
We're going to go back to this because they're playing some stuff that was the earlier of what you missed of the funeral of Sonny Kim.
Nothing to do with the way he sized you. Growing up in a Korean Protestant Christian home, it was a certain lane of people that I interacted with on a regular basis, but with Sonny, his friends were all white, black, Latino, Jewish, Muslim. And those were genuinely his friends. Those were genuinely the people that he called friends. Because he didn't look at anything about the exterior, but he looked at the character of the person. It was like growing up with the Incredible Hulk. It was like every day, you know, when your brother is a black belt in karate, and when you have arguments, those arguments don't last very long. When and there was no such thing as a fight. That was always pretty one way. You know, I think about our earlier childhood, and he was so committed to training. He was so committed to being a practitioner of karate. He was so focused. And I think some of that rubbed off in just his everyday persona, being kind of hard on the exterior and being kind of curt with his words and being, you know, when I would ask him a question, the answer was yes, no, or get out of here. But there was a day, I still remember, when all that changed was the first time I saw him holding Timothy. And he held baby Timothy, and it was different. He was so proud to be a family man. And he doesn't get to do that anymore.
So that was his brother, Mickey Kim, talking about Sonny Kim, the man he knew as a boy, as a teenager, as a grown adult, as a father. And he talked about why he wanted to be in the city of Cincinnati as a police officer. And he said maybe it was something about the people here. And he went on to say maybe it was the way they said hello, the way they shake hands. But he loved the city because he loved the people of this city. And you are watching literally thousands of officers, peace officers of all kinds, walking by our cameras here. They will, here's how this will work. Right now, these people will all get into buses and head directly up to Gate of Heaven Cemetery and get in place. Meanwhile, this is giving a moment to the family to be with Sonny Kim one last time as just family. And then the processional will begin. I do want to talk about Chief Jeffrey Blackwell, who really was so well-spoken during this process. He talked about Sonny living a life worthy of everyone's presence here today, the condolences and display of love. And he gave a charge to his three sons, Timothy, Josh, and Jacob. And if we have that ready, let's take a listen to that.
Police officers live by what are known as core values: integrity, professionalism, diversity, accountability, and vigilance are what Officer Sonny Kim subscribed to. But there are others, ones like duty, honor, and courage. And so to Timothy, Joshua, and Jacob, I say to each of you this: Jacob, as the youngest son, I want you to have courage. Be strong, like your father taught you to be. Do not be afraid. Joshua, you are the middle son. Honor your family and your last name. Try your very best to be the son who never lets your father down. He will be watching over you forever.
You don't ever see him again. You know, your kids...
Your core value is duty. You are the oldest son. You have a duty to protect your mother. You have a duty to watch over and protect your younger brothers, like your father watched and protected all of you. Be everything your dad taught you to be. Face every storm. Overcome every obstacle, and know, really know, that you have 1,023 uncles and aunts who will never leave your side.
And that was the soundbite, I believe, that really hit me the most as we watched this entire service, and as you are continuing to watch the stream of police officers, peace officers of every type go by you. They will be headed to Gator Cemetery, where they will then finally lay Sonny Kim to rest. Let's go now to my colleague, Tom McKee, who has been standing by and watched this entire funeral service as well. His thoughts on it. Tom.
Tanya, you can see some of the 7,000 people who attended the service behind me still exiting from Cintas Center after this hour and a half service here this afternoon in memory of Sonny Kim. One of the people that they heard from was Police Specialist Buddy Blankenship, who met Kim at UC in 1987, nearly 30 years ago. Of course, Sonny, we know that he has some education here in the Norwood schools, moved to Chicago, but he said, Chicago might be nice, but it's no Cincinnati. Sonny chose us. He demanded, he wanted to come back to Cincinnati. He introduced him, in matter of fact, to his future wife, Jessica, was in their wedding. He knew each of the sons very well and had some emotional, very emotional words for each of them during the program.
Sonny has taught, mentored, and loved countless people as a sensei at his dojo, as a neighbor, as a friend, and as a member of our community. But when you really get a feel for the kind of man Sonny was and the place where Sonny concentrated most of his energy and love is when you get to know Sonny's family. His faithful, loving, devoted wife, Jessica. His hilarious, wildly, artistically talented son, Timothy. His strong and athletic son, Joshua. And his off-the-charts intelligent son, Jacob. Sonny and Jessica have already gone a long way into creating three fine young men. Young men who will no doubt continue to enhance and change lives for the better for years to come. Young men who already have and will continue to make their fathers so very, very proud.
And Specialist Blankenship had some parting words for the crowd. He said, keep telling Sonny stories. Keep talking about him. Keep Sonny's love in all of our hearts. And he concluded by saying, he'll be the heartbeat of this city forever. A wonderful tribute from Buddy Blankenship, who knew Sonny Kim for nearly 30 years. Craig, Carol?
All right, Tom, thank you very much for that. I think the common thread through all of this is that Sonny Kim's impact on this community just will not be forgotten, obviously. And joining us in studio now is professor and former chief of police at the University of Cincinnati, Ed Bridgman. Ed, thank you for joining us.
And as a former officer yourself, walk us through your reaction watching this funeral today.
None of these are ever easy. I've been through several of these over my 30-plus years in law enforcement, and it doesn't get any easier. I was moved by the articulate expressions on the parts of the political leaders on this. In this day and age, when there's a lot of political wrangling about police and some of the perception in some communities about the inadequacies of police, it was certainly heartwarming for me, and I'm certainly for the certain that the officers that were there were moved by the.
Don't know if that's the last kiss we're going to get. So, but we took my husband down today, dropped him off, and then brought these two up here so we could sit and pay our respects.
Seemed like a real family man. Helped out the community a lot, and then basically gave his life for the city, so the country.
And back live now again as you look at the entrance to the gate of Heaven Cemetery here in Montgomery. A large crowd starting to gather here, and as I said earlier, they've been here since early this morning. About 9 o'clock, the first person showed up. You know, a lot has been said about Officer Kim being a family man, and I
hear Ed Moeller, it is summer, you're out of school, but you and your classmates said you had to be here today. Tell us why. Tell us about just lining this road.
Yeah, we really just wanted to be here today. We're here practicing the Marianist beliefs as practicing the faith and practicing education in peace, justice, and service. We're really just here honoring the 27 years that Officer Kim served in the Cincinnati area and the fallen brother that he is. You know, that sense of service certainly reflected by all of these folks. We talked to young to old, there are retired police officers in this crowd, and this mirrors the crowd that we've been seeing up and down Montgomery Road. Again, Lisa, it is going to be a 16-mile trek for the body of Officer Kim, going from the Cintas Center to the Gate of Heaven Cemetery. This final mile, again, if you look and you see these people who've gathered, some who may have known Officer Kim, some who only knew of him. I had a chance to talk to a young man as well, Cameron Collins. I understand, of course, Tim Kim, Officer Kim's senior son, is your classmate from Loveland.
Yes, sir. That's right. Tim was in my science class in eighth grade, and just an awesome kid, smart kid, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. And yeah, I thought I needed to come here, and the Mueller community needed to come support him here and let him know how much of a hero his father was. And, yep.
That's what this procession is, again, letting the Kim family know how much of a hero Officer Kim is to all of us. Considered Officer Kim an honorary photographer at News 5 for that weekend, certainly a very special man. He also directed traffic as an off-duty detail at Crossroads Church on Ridge Avenue. Just a reflection, again, of just the number of lives that these officers touch day to day, and their prayer that when they go on duty that they get home to their families at night. This week I had a chance to talk with Diane Lofton, who is, in fact, the sister of Cincinnati police officer Bill Lofton, killed in the line of duty in the 1970s. And Diane Lofton, dear family friend, simply said, this is a day, this is a moment that you'll never forget, but it's the outpouring of the support of the community that makes it possible for you to carry on in the darkest of days. It's one that certainly the Kim boys and Mrs. Kim will carry with them, that so many people from this community willing to line the road.
I'm them a black t-shirt, college, their shorts, their clothes, and red and white, all shorts.
Their loved one making this journey. Here at Mueller, this is the last mile again. And with these young boys, they are certainly a future force. Harrison didn't necessarily know Officer Kim, but you're here also. Tell me why. Why are you here with your classmates, and what is it that's so special to say, I've got to be here?
Well, as Marianists, we're really called to support those who are in need, like the Kim family, of course. We've been educated in family spirit, which calls us to really help people who are in dire need of comfort and support, and we're really just going to live out Officer Kim's dedication to serving the community by just our service work and things like that in the community.
Carrying that dedication, a lifelong calling, certainly one that has inspired a lot of people this week. Lisa, ironically, we're just 1 week again from getting that dreadful radio call, knowing that an officer was in distress. This has certainly been a challenging week for all of those in the law enforcement family. You reflect on the police that you get to know in your day-to-day. When that call came through, I know all of us in the newsroom, all of us throughout the city, it's just a natural inclination. You start going through your mental Rolodex of friends, of family, of officers that you've come in contact with, and just hoping, saying, are you okay? My phone, of course, just started ringing like I'm sure yours did, because we all know so many Cincinnati officers, and they represent those great traditions of the finest. And that's what today really has become, is just a celebration of life and their honor and just the great sacrifice that Officer Sonny Kim represents for all of us.
Richard Childs, thank you. Live at Mueller High School with many students there showing their support. We will be checking back with you as you are very near the Gate of Heaven Cemetery. Let us go back to Xavier University, to the Cintas Center right outside with John London. John, it appears that the last of the officers have come out of the Cintas Center. Does it appear perhaps it may be getting started soon?
And then if you look to the right a little bit, if you know Norwood, you know police are right next to fire here on Montgomery Road. Fire just here in the last 20 minutes lifted this flag into the air over the procession route. It was everyone along the route kind of went silent.
I remember that day well, that people all lined up along. It was waving flags and crying, and it was just tough day for us, and so my wife and daughter wanted to make sure we were here to support Officer Kim's family, because it was so impressive to us what went on for our son.
F. Millward is live along that procession route, as he was just saying. We're going to get back to him in a few minutes.
And you can see the T-shirt there, honor their sacrifice. We do want to go live now out to Gate of Heaven Cemetery. Julie O'Neill out there. And Julie, what are you seeing? Are you seeing a gathering? Obviously, that is the line where the public will be cut off from being able to go into the cemetery. It's a very private cemetery or private funeral that's going to take place just with officers and family members out there. But are people starting to gather there?
Yeah, the road is filling up. The sun is shining brightly on Gate of Heaven, Gate of Heaven Cemetery. Of course, there is sadness here, but a sense of pride pervades that sadness. I want to go to some video that we shot just a couple of minutes ago. Outside the main entrance to the cemetery, the most poignant picture out here, the fire engines with the cross ladders and banners hanging honoring Officer Kim. All along Montgomery Road, the flags wave. Most people who've come to line the road brought flags. And most I've spoken to who got here the earliest, a couple of hours ago, either have a loved one who is a police officer or lost a loved one who was a police officer. And so they felt very strongly they had to be here.
We decided to come get as close as we can and just show our support for the officer, Kim, and his family. I think it's important, especially with everything that's been going on, that the community sees that police officers are respected and that we support them.
I just know what it's like to not know whether or not they're going to come home, you know. So, anyways, that's why we're here.
Very touching to me. I lost my dad when I was young in service. It's just amazing how people pull together at such a tragic time. And I know it must be really hard for the family, and I support the police department.
Tamara Schnetzer, whom you just heard, was the first person out here this morning. She added that this kind of service is what makes America what it is. You see the flags there right outside one of the entrances to Gate of Heaven Cemetery. And now live behind me, you see as the road is filling up along Montgomery Road here. And as I drove down really from Fields Earl on, which is about a mile from here, you saw the flags on either side of the road, businesses lowering their flags to half staff. It's really quite touching. And now as the funeral is let out, which I believe a lot of people wanted to watch on television, you'll start to see more people filling the streets here. There are banners. People are carrying signs. A lot of people have brought their children, wanting them to share in this moment of support for police and the community. It is very touching. Even the businesses near the dojo where Officer Kim was a sensei, they have beautiful signs up and ribbons, blue and black, supporting him as well. And I must tell you, as a person who lives in the Loveland Sims Township area, everyone I've run across, from the grocery store to the nail salon, wherever you go, people have some connection to this family. They know one of the kids, or they knew Officer Kim or his wife. They were very involved and very much respected, and there is a tremendous pride in this part of town, especially that that we get to claim Officer Kim. Obviously, the procession is moving closer to us. Let me explain really quickly how this is going to work. I'm in front of one of the entrances. Our thanks to Columbia Hyundai for letting us park our live truck here, allowing a lot of the police officers to use their parking lot today, part of this community and proud to be and assisting here. So this is one of the entrances. A lot of the cars will come in through this entrance. And then as we showed you further down the street, there is what I would call the main entrance to the cemetery, and that is where you saw the fire engines parked with the cross ladders. I have to believe that the hearse is going to enter through that entrance, and as they get closer, we will come back live to you. Reporting live at Gate of Heaven Cemetery, I'm Julie O'Neill, and we'll send it back to you.
All right.
Well, it's impossible to know just how soon, but one would think that it will be
maybe within the next 15 minutes, that's just a party. But the hundreds of people who were inside have now gone to the parking lots and up the on the upper parking lot here, the police cruisers, the marked police cruisers that will be in procession are ready and their lights are going. We have not seen any sign out front of the lead vehicles or the motorcycles or the hearse, but that group will process past the cross ladders that are behind me here at the
to begin. And along the route is Karen Johnson. She is in Sims Township, eventually seeing some of these police cars. Karen, good afternoon to you. Bring us up to date from where you are.
Yeah, good afternoon, Lisa. We are just north of the cemetery here, and we're standing in front of the karate school where Sonny Kim taught karate. And this is a route where part of the procession will proceed north past the cemetery. They'll come here, and they'll turn around in the karate school's parking lot and then proceed back to the cemetery. I just spent the last hour or so out here talking to many of Sonny Kim's students. So I'm really getting a feel for who he was as a teacher. And one parent said it best. He just shared a story with me how he was struggling with his two young sons, teaching them about respect and honor. And he said Sonny Kim had a greater impact on changing who their children were. It's something they were struggling with at home. They said once he became involved in their boys' lives, it was like night and day. The little boys gained confidence. They now have respect for teachers, respect for themselves. And I talked to the boys, obviously a lot of sadness out here today, and it's just all about honor. And that's something also, by being out here today, you see a lot of the children, that's what parents want to teach their kids while out here on the procession route. They want to teach them about honor, something that Sonny Kim taught these kids every day at the karate school. Parents say by changing their kids' lives, they were also able to change their family's lives, make them a stronger family unit out here. And that's something that I'm hearing over and over out here in front of his karate school. Lisa.
Karen, I cannot imagine what Jessica, Kim, and her three boys and their family are going to think when they come down Montgomery Road, when they come to the dojo and maybe see these faces that they recognize, that their father was an instructor for these kids. I can you imagine what they're going to be feeling? One of the speakers at the funeral said that Jessica Kim was saying, people are doing too much. She was worried people are doing too much, and I just cannot imagine how full that their hearts are going to be.
And you know, Lisa, people out here feel like they can't do enough. A lot of people are still brought to tears over thinking of what happened. I just spoke to another mother who was telling me part of the dojo-kun. And one of the sayings in there is refrain from violence. That's something that he taught these kids, and these people just, they're still trying to make sense how he could teach these kids refrain from violence. You know, you never start a fight, and when they think about how he passed away, it's not making sense to them. So when they're out here today, they want to do more for the family. They feel like they can't do enough, and I can tell you the crowd is just starting to gather because it'll probably be another hour or two. I have a feeling this entire street is going to be lined.
Everyone is very patient, just waiting to show their respect. What is interesting, you will find young children here. You will find older adults who are here, some of them who knew Officer Kim. Some, of course, only know him through this tragedy. But all of them have one common link. They say that they realize it is necessary for them to pay their respect. Of course, I'll let you take a look at the motorcycles coming down . This is their tribute. Not sure how many, but this is their tribute to Officer Kim.
There's like hundreds of motorcycles.
One person just said to me, amazing. And I think we'll be hearing that quite a bit today as this procession that we will see in a few moments that will proceed up Montgomery beyond what you see here. I heard John say roughly 750 vehicles will be part of this procession.
What a show of force there, Curtis. I like that young boy said, I cannot imagine how many motorcycles are there now.
And when you look at these motorcycles, I mean, there's at least thousands of motorcycles all lined up coming through, doing their part in honoring Officer Sonny Kim. Truly amazing, truly amazing.
In my mind all morning is oneness. You know, we talk about how there's so much difference going on in the world and our city, but on, you know, this day, people are of one accord, and it's a wonderful thing to see. It's a humbling experience to see all of the people on one accord, even though it's for a very sad and tragic occasion. Lisa?
It is a sad and tragic occasion, Curtis, there on Montgomery Road. Tell us more about the people who are there. They're arriving. They are waiting. They want to know when the procession will reach this area. And we've seen these things, as you mentioned, unfortunately, many times before. We saw it not too long ago with Daryl Gordon. We've seen it with our servicemen and women who have not come home as we memorialize.
Now, I'd like to, one of the things I would like to do, because when I talk about this stuff, you know, it does, but I mean, it hits for me. I don't know. It hits me really close to home here when I think of this stuff, because it really gets to me that my heart goes out to this, and I feel like, you know, that I just, I don't know how to put it, but you know, I get sad to know that this is out there, and my heart just opens up to it, and I don't know. It's just truly amazing. And because of that, you know, me being an ex-police officer myself, you know, I look at this and I think about this, and even when you're gone, you know, you are part of the blue. You are part of that blue and understanding that you are part of that life, and we're back in that blue. And that's what bothers me the most, you know, because when you go out there and you put your life on the line as a police officer or firefighter or military or whomever, you know, you do a lot. You're going out there to do your job, and, you know, you expect that, you know, the dangers that could happen. But in your mind, you know, you say to yourself, I am going home tonight. I will go home tonight, and no matter what, that's just the way it is. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, I'm going home. I don't care what this other person thinks, how they're going to do this. I'm going home tonight. And I think about this all the time. You know, I always think about it. Only because, you know, it is a part of, you know, what happens to, you know, to all of us. And, again, it's just truly amazing. Just truly amazing that all this stuff occurred. I don't know. It's very sad. So what I would like to do is I'd like to take my couple minutes here and honor Sonny Kim as they are doing the funeral procession down the road. They're getting ready to take off from Xavier University. We'll go ahead and let you listen to a song here. And this is in honor of Sonny Kim, Officer Sonny Kim, of the Cincinnati Police Department.
Oh, I wish I was in the land of cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Look away. Dixieland, where I was born. Early Lord, one frosty morn, look away, look away, look away, Dixieland.
Now we are covering the Sonny Kim, Officer Sonny Kim's funeral from the Cincinnati Police Department. And let's go ahead and go back to the officer here, the funeral processor for this officer.
Allow hundreds and hundreds of police units to drive by in this procession. So we just ask for some patience today. We know that, you know, it will delay you. There's no getting around that. It will delay you. So just please have patience today and just honor Sonny Kim in that manner.
Today, former police chief of Cincinnati, James Craig, came out to pay his respects as well. Let's take a quick listen to that.
So he is my hero, and so certainly I would not have missed this or anything. Celebrate his life.
And we have been hearing from officers and people who are standing outside the Cintas Center. That's where we find them on your side, Tanya O'Rourke. And Tanya, set the scene for us. What's going on there right now?
Okay, so this is what is happening. Right now, I'll talk about this in just a second, but police have lined up. But I want to tell you first, behind me here, where the right in front of where the fire trucks have raised their ladders, there's a semicircle. what will happen is the procession will actually begin from the back end. That is where Sonny Kim's casket is in the hearse. It will come past, and if Dave, you can pan left to where that family, it's like four people is standing. It'll come by, or we have another camera down there as well, but it'll come past there. And then, Dave, if you can continue to pan left, it'll go up all the way to Clunet, and you can see there's a line of Cincinnati police vehicles with their lights on right now. That line starts there. It goes 750 cars back all the way over our camera's left side, which we cannot show you. Can't go that far. But that's what's going to happen. So it'll turn on left onto Clunet out of Cintas Center and then left onto Montgomery Road. And remember, Officer Kim was a District 2 police officer during his service. They talked about how he wanted to be part of District 2 more than any other because it's the largest. And so it's going to go through much of District 2 just by happenstance. Of course, right here in Evanston, then it'll hit Norwood, then Pleasant Ridge, Kennedy Heights, Silverton.
All too well. I want to bring in Ed Dooley here. You know, for folks who may be new or don't remember, your son killed in the line of duty in Warren County in 2011. You told me earlier it's really hard for you to come out here. You almost didn't want to. What is the emotion? What do you feel when you stand here and you wait and you're going to see that approach?
Well, it brings back memories of that day and the saddest day of my life. But I wanted to be here because my daughter reminded me how extremely proud and thoughtful I thought of all the people and all the signs that was along the route back that day. And she brought that to my attention, and I said, I'll be there. Although it's so insignificant, I wanted to be there to show support to what that man did for his community and his family's got to go through for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, I asked you this a little bit earlier, but if there was something you could say to the Kim family today, in the midst of it all, when I think they're at the peak of grief right now, what can you say to them about, you know, you're 4 years out? Does it get easier? Does it get better?
Well, never forget, and an hour doesn't go by that I don't think about him, but certainly life will go on. You have he had three small children, she has children. You have to be there for them, and it's, you don't think it'll get better, but it will, especially if you allow and have faith and allow the people that are going to be there to support the family, if they will allow them to do that, offer that support and accept it, they will survive this.
You've been on the other side, and you talk about support. What does it mean to ride up one of these and see people out on the streets in blue? What does that mean on a day like this?
Well, it tells you a lot of press is about all the bad things. It tells you that there is an awful, awful, the biggest majority of people are law-abiding, love police, American citizens that stand for the right things.